This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks.
Welcome to Pubcast number
spy.
Two.
Oh, it's number spy.
Spy.
Ooh, the Spy Pubcast.
So those of you who've already tuned into the previous Pubcast, you know what these are like. Yes, we're at an establishment that sells alcohol, and we're going to be talking about some delicious beverages.
It will not have the explicit moniker, however, it will not be clean either.
Because we're talking about alcoholic beverages, and we know some people
enjoyed
don't feel
by
that
adults.
Way. Correct.
An adult pleasure enjoyed responsibly.
So actually today we're down in Barrie. It is our 9th anniversary and we
Yay!
Thought we'd do something special. So we went to Barrie to go to the Robert Simpson's Brewing Company and do the tour. And then we went across the street to the historic Queens Hotel to have a drink. We're going to do a picnic lunch later because, you know, we want to do something special. We eat out all the time. So we thought we'd do a picnic for something special.
So we've got some brie, some smoked cheddar, some
Wensleydale with cranberry.
Wensleydale with cranberries and the whiskey cheddar.
That whiskey smoked cheddar stuff, yeah, that looks really good.
It's got scotch in it or
something. And a good wheat baguette from Country Produce.
Yes.
And we have some
Bing
cherries. Bing cherries and blueberry pomegranate.
Oh, yes.
Sparkling juice.
We have some sparkling juice.
Because we're going to be in public after this.
Yeah.
So, right now, the Queens Hotel, very nice establishment. We've never been here at night. I don't know if we ever will be here at night, but we've been here, this is the second time now. We came first for a drink with
Daisy and Jamie,
our friends from Vermont. Who rock.
Big shout out to Daisy and Jamie.
Woo!
But this is the first place that I actually had the Robert Simpson Anti-Gravity Light Ale.
Oh, it's fantastic. This is the best light beer I think I've had.
Yes, besides Yuengling Light.
This is as good as Yuengling Light, and
yes.
God knows I am a huge Yuengling fan.
Yes.
That's saying something. For me to say this approaches the pinnacle of Yuenglingness.
And you can tell that we're, like, socially lubricated because we already went on the brewery tour and they fed us as much beer as possible just to keep talking to us, I think.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But the Queens. Queens Hotel, Queens Establishment, whatever this place. Queens Hotel, I believe.
Queens Hotel.
Yes.
Established in
1850. Gorgeous place inside. I really, if I were a local to Barrie, I think this would become a regular establishment for me.
Oh my God, you'd find me here every night after work for a pint.
Or at least, you know, a couple times a week or payday or whatever. It really is a nice looking place. It really lives up to the Canadian equivalent
Pub-a-tude.
Of what I think of when I think of pub. It's pretty inside, it's homey, but
it's
still
historic.
It still manages to have a sophisticated air to it. The staff has been very friendly both times we've been here.
It's the hardwood floors.
A little bit of history. It's been here since 1850. It survived the fire in 1875 that devastated Barrie.
Jeez.
And since then, it's been almost the same thing. It's been a hotel / pub. So you're talking about someplace that obviously they're doing something right, even
exactly.
if it changes hands.
Here's a little bit of trivia for you, some beer trivia. There's a place in Oshawa called the Queens Hotel, which is known as a complete and total dive.
So think Barrie for good Queens, Oshawa
for
bad.
But I think they actually closed it, so you don't even have to worry about it.
Well, that's good. I like to see bad places close down.
Yeah.
I even like it better when good places open up in place of the bad places.
Yes, definitely.
Like, remember the Pitbull in Morgantown?
Yes.
Oh, there was this crazy little place in Morgantown.
It used to be like a convenience store.
Yeah, it was
and
on
it was,
South Park.
So you'd go over the bridge to go home.
And
you'd go,
there
like,
left.
Downtown was there, then there was the bridge, you'd go over the bridge, and then that was South Park, which was like a kind of like little bohemian,
you had a bunch
artistic,
of students
hippie,
living there.
Student.
And professors.
Yeah. There was
yeah.
like this great mix.
Yeah.
Of, I'm going to have like La Vie Boheme playing in the background
La Vie Boheme
here.
For the Rent fans and the 12 listeners that we have.
The only good song on the Rent soundtrack.
Oh God, I love that song. That makes up for the whole movie.
Yes.
Or play, depending on what version you're familiar with. Not a big
exactly.
fan of Rent here, but I
but that
love
song
that
is awesome.
Song.
Yeah. That is like our anthem.
Possibly. So South Park is very much like that song. You get such a clash of culture there. You have the dirty hippies, you have a lot of international people, you have a lot of college kids just trying to find themselves. And then
the
if you go a little further, I
musicians.
Guess, I don't want to say north because it's not truly north, but you go up the hill in South Park, you run into the professors.
Yeah, they like live on top of the hill.
They live on the hill.
Look down.
Yeah, Sheila likes to class size it.
Look down literally and figuratively on the students that are broiling underneath them.
So anyway, we spent a couple years living in South Park and absolutely loved most of the time there. It's really
yeah.
a neat community.
It's becoming more of a party place now, but...
We first moved there, though, Jesse and Gabe's fires.
Oh my goodness.
Were phenomenal. Our friends used to hold bonfires. Not bonfires, it was in a fire dish.
It was a bonfire
but it was on
that
Petra
was
Street.
An urban bonfire.
But it was a blast.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody showed up with something to bring to the fire, whether it was something to stick on a stick and put into the fire, or something to drink while you were roasting your things on a stick at the fire.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
it was
theme
fun.
Was generally things on sticks.
Yeah.
So bring marshmallows.
Meat.
Bring meat if you want. Yeah.
Oh, pineapple stuff on a stick is awesome.
Hot dogs,
peaches.
Whatever.
I remember she had the peaches the one time.
Peaches
Those were
delicious.
Great. If you sprinkled a little sugar on them and put them on the fire, they were fantastic.
You could make s'mores.
And she would just have these random fires, like, every other week or so.
If I closed my eyes, I could actually believe that I was out in her home state of Ohio, kind of on a back road cottage in the middle of nowhere, and enjoying myself with just a close-knit group of friends with unlimited amounts of beer.
Yeah.
And having a great time with all the tunes that you could ever want to hear played on the iPod.
It was a blast. So, fond memories of Jesse's fires. They were so cool. One of the things I really miss from South Park, I remember we'd sit in our apartment and we'd smell like campfire smoke. We're like, I think Jesse and Gabe are having a fire. And we'd run across the street and they're setting up. They're like, hey,
we'd
come
like
over.
Look down Pietro and then we'd see like a little glow, flickering glow, and see like a little bit of smoke coming out.
We always had some beer in the fridge or something, or homebrew, and Sheila would grab some stuff and run across the street with it. So back to the pit bull, because we've totally gone off track.
Sorry.
This is going to be a very convoluted podcast. Again, it's a pubcast, so
don't
you know what these are like
order,
already.
Rhyme or reason.
There'll be order on the next one. So the pit bull was, as you come over the Walnut Street Bridge into the South Park area, as if you were going to Saberton, on the left-hand side in that first row of like houses slash buildings, there was this little convenience store that became a bar. And when we moved in, it had just become the Pit Bull Bar and Grill. And this was like a closet of an establishment.
It's a hole in the wall in
literally
all the senses.
There was
a great
just
place
enough
to drink.
Yeah.
Very familial, overlooked by most of the population.
Well, it was a local bar, and that's what it was meant to be. It wasn't meant to attract anybody outside of the locals.
It wasn't
the place
club
was
scene
wide
at all
enough to have the bar, the space behind the bar, a narrow bar attached to the opposite wall with some stools, and that was it. And there was a back room that had video poker, because video poker had just become legal within, I think, a year or two.
Yeah.
Of the pit bull being open. So that was a kind of a draw.
Like
they had like five machines in the back.
The bar owners made their money.
Pretty much. I went back once in a while and put a dollar or two. I always quit whenever I doubled my money. So if I put a buck in, I quit at $2. We would go there because they had one fantastic chicken fingers. I don't know where they got them from, but they just whipped them in the fryer with some fries. And they tasted like John's Wildwood chicken fingers from Edinburgh.
Hmm.
They were really good. And they also had cheap beer.
Yeah.
You get Bud Light on tap for 50 cents.
I will never complain about Bud Light if it's cheap and cold.
Yes.
That is its place. Bud Light is not meant to be enjoyed in a pub in my world. Bud Light is meant to be on a hot night at a cheap bar for 50 cents a pint,
but a 12
served
ounce,
ice cold.
But a 12-ounce frosty mug of Bud Light with your chicken fingers on a hot afternoon or a hot evening in South Park was perfect.
Yes.
And it was within walking distance. I remember the one night, I mean, the guy who owned it, He owned, at the time, a couple car lots. He owned car dealerships.
Yes.
And this was something he bought, and his daughter ran it, and he ran it. And it was kind of becoming the gay hangout, too. Because his daughter hung out with a bunch of the local, like, lesbians. Like, the
right
one lady who owned the catering place across the river.
Yeah, the,
So
what was her name?
I don't
she
remember.
Had a hot dog.
She had a hot dog cart, too.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a place where Sheila and I could walk in.
Genie.
And we felt, Genie's hot dogs.
Was it Genie's Awesome Dogs or something?
Yeah, and she had a catering place, too.
Yeah.
But we could walk in there, and we weren't in fear of our life. And his daughter was always really cool with us, and he was always just an absolute sweetheart.
He was like, well, we asked, because in West Virginia, you can still smoke in the bars.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, hey, you know, we like cigars. Is it okay if we bring cigars here to smoke? And he's like, you know, every, you know, half hour or so, I'll turn on the ventilation system. You can bring whatever you want to smoke in here. And he winked at us.
And we're like, wow.
Okay, well, we're not into that. We're totally fine with people that do that, because it's not hurting anybody, but we'll just bring our cigars and we'll have a grand old time.
So we would go there, and it was just a very friendly atmosphere. They had good pub grub and cheap beer. And it was just the kind of place that I still have a lot of fond memories of. Eventually, he ended up selling it. But one of the most epic nights in our lives is we show up at the pit bull round. We go out for dinner. We were sitting there at home. We're like, you know, I don't feel like cooking. And she's like, I don't feel like cooking either. I'm like, we've got money. We do have money. Why don't we go to the pit bull and get something to eat and have a couple beers? Okay. We walk up to the pit bull, and we get two orders of chicken fingers, two orders of fries, and a couple of Bud Lights. And they started a tab, which is normal in that area. They knew us, you know, no big deal. They started a tab
right
for us.
We lived right down the hill from them,
so
they saw us often.
We're drinking and relaxing and socializing. There were a lot of local people there. And a couple guys buy us drinks because they knew us. They're like, hey, and we bought them
so
a drink.
It was so cheap. You can buy each other drinks, and it's like a cheers atmosphere, and
Nobody
cares because it's 50 cents,
yeah,
you know?
So we bought a couple drinks here, and we kept drinking and drinking. At the end of the night, they had Coronitas, the little mini Coronas, and
yeah,
they had St.
Pauli
girls.
Yeah, that makes it actually affordable.
So we, at the end of the night, our last drink, I had a Coronita, and Sheila had a St. Pauli girl. And we're like, okay, we're ready to tally up our tab. And the guy who owned the place, they didn't keep a written tab for people who were there all the time.
You were pretty much on your honor, because it was old school like that. You know?
So he looks at us, he's like, what'd you girls have tonight? I'm like, well, we've been here for a while, and this was about 11 o'clock at night, I think. So we got there around 5, 6, we left at around 11. I'm like, okay, we had two orders of chicken fingers, two orders of fries. And I start counting on my fingers, and I'm like, holy crap, we had 22 Bud Lights.
A Coronita and a St. Pauli girl.
And he looks at us, and he's like, what? And neither one of us were drunk. That's the sad part.
We'd been there hanging out for so long and imbibing at such a relaxed rate that we were, I wouldn't drive.
Oh, God, no.
But we were both very coherent and we're like.
Nobody was swaying, falling off their stool.
Two chicken fingers, two fries.
It was like 22 Bud Lights.
22 Bud Lights.
Yeah, it was 11 each. And he looks at us and he's like, you've got to be kidding me. How are you still upright? We've been here for 5 hours, almost 6 hours.
Like, it was a night of it.
It's Bud Light. It's like a spacer.
Yeah.
So it was a blast. Just the look on his face, though, to realize how much we drank.
Well, then we were that honest about it, too. We're like.
The best part was the bill was under $30.
Yeah. $30 at our favorite wing place, BW3, would have been wings for both
fries,
of us, and maybe two beers each.
But about four beers.
So four beers in total, and two orders of food at our favorite wing place.
At
the Pitbull, it was like two orders of food and a pile of beer.
A pile of Bud Light. Oh, you know what else they were known for, though, too? Their hot dogs.
Yes.
Because they would do the hot dogs.
Delicious chili dogs.
The chili dogs, and they do the coleslaw dogs, too. And I remember we would just sit at the bar and watch whatever was on the TV, like whether it was a hockey game or a football game or whatever. And people would just come in and order hot dogs, like half a dozen of them.
It might as well have been 6 dozen. Yeah. I saw a couple of, like, big
good
brown
boxes.
Paper bags.
Yeah.
Where, like, they'd send, there was, like, six guys, and they'd send one poor sap
down
who
to
lost
get lunch
the coin
for everybody.
Toss to go to get lunch for everybody,
yeah.
Exactly.
So that, the Pitbull was a fond local bar memory place. And if we lived in Barrie, in the local area, like, downtown, I think we would probably treat this place the same way. We're in Canada, beer's a lot more expensive, but we still, I think, come down here, you know, in the evening and enjoy a few pints.
Yes.
So, on to the festivities that we enjoyed today. Robert Simpson Brewing Company, also known as the Flying Monkey Brewworks, or Brewing Company, I guess.
Flying Monkeys Brewery.
Flying Monkeys Brewery. They're changing their name, which we can actually... Cheers. We can actually get into the history of why they're changing their name, because we learned on the tour today.
Yes. We had an awesome tour by Patty
Rocks. So, the tour. Well, the history. It started out as the Simcoe Steam Brewery.
And it was in the 1800s. They showed us like a really, really old picture. And I guess they wanted... It was bought by three families. Well, there's one family that pretty much runs it.
But nobody who owns it now is associated with that company.
That family.
They started it up out of nowhere. And they thought, well, why don't we call it after the original brewery that was here? Mm-hmm. And they got a phone call up from, I think, Maytag. And they're like, hey, we have the word Steam copyrighted, trademarked.
For some reason in Canada, if you want to use this name, you have to pay us like $250,000.
Something crazy every
Ridiculous.
Year to be able to use the name. And they said, that's okay, we don't really want that name that bad. So they decided to name it after one of the original owners of the original Simcoe Steam Brewing Company. And that's where they got the Robert Simpson Brewing Company. And they've operated then since 2004 as Robert Simpson Brewing Company. And they're really a craft brew works. They do good micro beer. They have the Amber, the Robert Simpson Amber Ale. Mm-hmm. They have the Anti-Gravity, which is a light beer, and it's fantastic.
It's delicious.
I remember when we first, we're looking at moving up into Aurelia, and Sheila did her thing where she goes online and she scouts everything out online. And she said, hey, there's a micro brew in Barrie. And I perked up and said, really? Because we were living in Morgantown, and, well, there's the pub, the brew pub.
Yeah, the West Virginia Brewing Company.
West Virginia Brewing Company. There's also the
Mountain State
Brewing, which was kind of in the area, but a lot of their beer was sold in Morgantown. We were kind of spoiled. We were used to having good craft beer in the area. So she said, hey, there's the Robert Simpson Brewing Company. I said, well, smaller brew companies are obviously better because I'm an elitist snob. So I'm interested in this right away. And I think one of the first beers we ordered when we went out as soon as we moved to Morgantown to Aurelia was their Amber on tap in Aurelia.
Yes, the Federation Ale.
Yes. We ordered it as soon as we moved to Aurelia, and it's a good
ale. It's delicious.
It's great. It has a very distinct flavor. If you're a typical Bud drinker, you're probably not going to enjoy it as much. Anybody else who likes everything, who likes a variety of beer, you're going to love it.
Yeah, you're going to like it.
It's almost, I hesitate to compare it to Sam Adams because it doesn't taste like Sam Adams, but it has that mouthfeel of a Sam Adams.
It's not as hoppy as Sam Adams.
Yeah.
But it definitely has like the texture and the body.
Imagine if Killian's, Amberbach, and Sam Adams had an orgy and produced a love child. That would very possibly be the Robert Simpson's Brewing Company Confederate Ale. Confederation Ale. I'm totally screwing up the name.
Not Confederate. Confederation.
Which is, I'm thinking the, South still.
Not the, we're going to secede, but we're going to become a country.
Yeah, so it's a good beer. Now, right now, we're drinking their other beer they have, which is the Anti-Gravity beer.
Yes.
And it's a light beer. And it really, what do you think? Let's give some comparison here. Is Sheila's chugging through hers?
Oh, it's delicious. Mm-hmm. And
oh, it goes down so smooth.
It goes down really deceptively easy.
Honestly?
It has like, if you're, this could be like the bridge. If you drink nothing but Bud Miller, mm-hmm. or for our northern friends, Canadian and Labatt, mm-hmm. this could be the bridge for you to go into a microbrew. It's all about eating local and drinking local.
Honestly, this gives me the same feel, same taste as Yuengling Light. Even the smell has that same scent as a Yuengling. Yeah. And I'm a good Pennsylvania girl. The first beer I ever actually enjoyed was a Yuengling. It's so weird. When I was a kid, my parents would have like cans of Busch. And I'd say, hey, I want to take a sip. And Dad would let me have a sip. And I'm like, ew.
Gross.
And at some point when I was growing up, all of a sudden beer became yucky. I think it was one of the cookouts my parents had. We're sitting around the picnic table eating. And I took a bite of baked potato that was way too hot. And I reached blindly for something to cool the heat. And I reached for a can and I grabbed it and I chugged it. And I was expecting the sweet, sweet, nourishing taste of Coca-Cola. And I got the not-so-sweet, not-so-nourishing taste of Busch. Or not Busch. What was the other beer?
Stroh's.
Stroh's. That's what it was. It was Stroh's. And I got Stroh's and I said, oh my god, this is not what I wanted. I turned my head, I got up, and I just spit beer and baked potato all over the lawn. And my mom's looking at me strangely, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I thought it was my pop can. That's not what I was expecting. And honestly, ever since then, I really did not like the taste of beer. Even in college, my friends would try to give me beer, and I was underage, and I'd take a sip, and I'm like, I'm not into it. One of my roommates' fiancés...
Right, because she was going to actually marry the guy.
He would bring Molson all the time over to the apartment. And he's like, Tracy, you have to try a Molson, and we're going to get into why Molson is not good in the States. But let me finish this, though. And I'd take a sip of the Molson, and I'm like, I can't do it, Eric. You got to take this back. I can't drink it. You have to finish this. I'm sorry I'm wasting your beer, but this is disgusting. And then it hits. It was so weird. I turned 21, so I'm of legal drinking age at this point, so I should be doing these things. And I went out to a bar with one of my friends from high school. It was Katie. We went out, I remember the day, January 6th, 2000. We took one of her friends. It was Christmas Eve. And we took one of her friends from college out in Pittsburgh for his 21st birthday. And we actually went to a gay bar, Pegasus, in Pittsburgh. And we're out with this guy, and he's partying, and we're buying him drinks. I get him a Flaming Dr. Pepper, and I felt about this big when I go up to the gay bartender. The flamingly gay bartender say, I'd like a Flaming Dr. Pepper. And he looks at me, I'm like, no, I'm not making fun of you. I just want this drink for my friend. He has to try it. And he's like, yeah, right. I'm like, no, really, I'm one of you. So he pours the Flaming Dr. Pepper. For those of you who don't know, it is a shot of amaretto in a glass shot glass. And they float a little bit of Bacardi 151 on top of it. And they have a half a mug of beer next to it. They light the Bacardi 151. You pick it up. You drop it in your beer to put out the flame. And then you chug it. And as you chug it, you want to keep your upper lip, by the way, over your teeth so you don't break a tooth. You, as you chug it, it tastes like Dr. Pepper. Interesting drink. So I was all excited.
We have the non-flaming version in Canada with the shot of amaretto dropped into usually half a glass of beer. You lift that thing up and you chug it and you do not, under any circumstances, stop or tip the glass to 180 degree angle because you will get, after the sweet, sweet flavor of Dr. Pepper, a wash of beer flavor.
It's just not right.
Which is just not good.
No. So I had ordered her friend, whose name totally escapes me at the time right now. I ordered him a Flaming Dr. Pepper, and then Katie and I are sitting there, and I'm like, I want a beer. I want something that's not really going to get me wasted. And I said, what do you have? And this guy said, we have Bud Light, Coors Light on draft. I'm like, I don't want any of that. I know it's terrible. He said, well, in bottle, we have this, and Yingling. And I vaguely remembered my dad saying something about how Yingling is awesome, and I think I saw it in the fridge downstairs. My parents had two fridges. The downstairs fridge had the beer and the soda, and my mom used the freezer for extra storage space. We didn't have a chest freezer. Mom used the second freezer. And I remembered him having Yingling in the fridge and thinking, well, mom and dad think it's, like, the bomb. So it must be pretty good, because my parents wouldn't steer me wrong, right?
Right.
So I ordered a Yingling. I took a swig of it, and I thought, oh my god, this is what beer's supposed to taste like. So when I say this stuff tastes, I went back to college. I was 21. Went and, you know, got some beer from the beer distributor, put it in my little dorm fridge. And one of my sisters in my sorority at the time, it was Young Ange.
Yes.
We were both into the fitness thing. Oh,
I'll have another,
bring
please.
Bring her a second one, please. I'm good.
Thank you.
So, Young Ange was really into fitness, and she was kind of like, I would rather drink a light beer. And I'm like, well, you know, let's try this Yingling Light. And I got in a case of Yingling Light, and I had it in the fridge, and we were both like, hey, this is a darn good beer. So when I say this is like Yingling Light, this is like comparing mother's milk to something. I mean, it's a darn tasty beer. So go ahead on your rant about Molson before we get back to the Robert Simpson.
Well, I guess now I have three stories to share. So,
oh god.
For some reason, I'm sure it's like this in Canada too, for something to be import and be swankier and further away and more expensive, for some reason it has to have that skunky taste.
Oh.
Like, if you've had Heineken here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The kind of beer that could have only went into a ship's hold, sat out in the sun on the dock...
Yeah.
And then put in a refrigerator.
Oh.
And then
it's not just
been served.
It's not just here. Heineken in China
tastes like
nasty.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
So I am sure, I'm willing to stake my kidneys on the fact that Heineken in Holland
awesome.
Probably tastes way better than it does
here.
There
we go.
Here.
Cheers.
Woo-hoo. Thank you.
Yeah, just looking at the tulips and the windmills.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just what it imports. It doesn't taste the same.
Well, the further away you get from a source of the beer, the skunkier it tastes.
Yeah.
And I don't equate skunkiness with swankiness.
Yeah.
You know?
It tastes
exactly.
best right across the street, like right now.
If I want to drink Heineken, I'm going to go to Holland to drink it.
Exactly.
I'm not going to let it get skunky on the boat coming over.
That was our bartender, by the way.
Yes.
Again, the Queen's Hotel, really friendly staff. You know, if you're in the area and you want a place to stop and have a pint, stop by here. They're really nice.
They're very, very cool. And it's historic and awesome. For some reason, the further you get away from Canada, the worse the beer tastes.
It does.
Molson Canadian in the States... tastes like
butts. It's horrible.
It's horrible.
They used to get it all the time at Gabe and Jesse's Fire.
Yeah.
Somebody would
and
bring
I'm
it because
like,
they had the cool
I cannot
labels.
Drink this. Yes.
They order the cool caps where it says something clever under the caps.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're drinking it, and Sheila's like, this isn't right.
It does not taste the same as Molson Canadian tastes here.
Which made me feel better because I hated Molson so much in college.
I mean, even within the country, here's another story for you. My friend Rick and I went out to go see Great Big Sea. In Prince Edward Island, we had Alexander Keith's, and we drank nothing but Keith's as soon as we passed into New Brunswick. And it tasted fresh, it tasted awesome, it tastes different, it tastes fresher and better the closer to the source you get.
Mm-hmm.
The further away you get, the worse it's going to be.
Blech.
It's not going to taste like it's meant to be tasted. It's not going to taste like it's meant to be drank.
And if you have a beer establishment that's not storing it properly, say you go to a beer distributor that where the beer has been sitting there for a year or two, because nobody's
ordering
it. Or it
gets hot, and then it gets cold, and then it gets hot again, and then it gets cold again.
That's bad for the beer, and
that
it's going to make it taste funky. So, and I was kind of not... This wasn't one of the reasons why I was hesitant about moving to Canada, but I felt a lot better moving to Canada after Sheila did confess that, indeed, the Canadian beer in the States does not taste right. Whereas we move here, and I have Canadian now, it tastes great!
The closest thing in the States you can get to actually the way Molson Canadian tastes is Leni Kugel Honey Lager. That, you drink that, it's going to taste, it tastes almost the same as a fresh, ice-cold Molson Canadian on a hot day.
But Canadian, I like. I can go out to any bar, and if I prefer draft beer. I honestly think it's how I was raised. When my parents went out to get a beer, there were times they took me with them. Did this make them bad parents? Heck no. My sister was in the marching band in high school. So, 9 years difference. My sister would have to be at the high school early to get ready for marching band. Mom and dad would drop her off. And then we're like, well, we're going to go to the football game. We've got like an hour and a half to kill. Hey, the VFW post is just down the street. Dad's a social member of the VFW post. Mom and Dad were saying, hey, let's go get a beer. Tracy can have a soda. So we would park the car, go down to the VFW. Mom and Dad would have a beer, and I'd have a soda. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
I was with my parents. They weren't sitting at the bar.
They weren't, like, bar flies neglecting you and spending their money at the at the bar instead of spending it on groceries.
But, and they never, ever drank to excess in front of me.
Yeah.
Never. But
it was
a
responsible adult pleasure.
Exactly, which is what it's meant to be. And I distinctly remember every time, as a child or older, they went out and they had a beer, they always, always, always ordered draft. Always. So to me, when you go out, you should order draft beer. There's no excuse not to, because it tastes better.
I think so, too. And I've got another story to tell that was one of my three stories that I wanted to tell. But first, I want you to tell the story about your great-grandmother, your dad's grandmother.
This is hilarious. This is going to be like an hour and a half long podcast. We apologize. So my great-grandmother on, this would be great-grandma Mazur. This would be my grandfather on my dad's side, his mom. She was a religious woman because pretty much everybody from that generation was pretty religious. She went to church every Sunday.
Ukrainian Orthodox?
Yes. And my parents, my dad at one point would give, my mom and my dad would give her a ride home. And they would drive her up the street to where she lived almost, and it was at the bottom of the hill, which is incidentally by the VFW post. And she'd tell them, oh no, you drop me off here, you drop me off here. Very Ukrainian lady, didn't speak, she spoke English, but she still had an accent and didn't quite speak proper English. And my dad and my mom asked, are you sure? Do you really want to be let off here? And she said, yes, you let me off here. You don't have to go uphill. I walk uphill. You let me off here. Here. So they let her off there every Sunday. They gave her a ride home. One Sunday into this, she forgot a purse in the car. My dad goes around the block, circles around, looking for her, driving up the hill. She's not on the hill. Driving back down the hill. Finally, I don't know what inspired them as such. They stopped at the VFW. They go in, and she's sitting there in a bar stool with a shot and a beer. And my dad's looking at her, says, so you let you off at the bottom of the hill. I see. Why? Well, here's your purse.
Now you can pay for your shot and the beer.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's, again,
as
the older generations, they have
you
right.
You worked hard all week.
You deserve a beer.
You went to church. You deserve a beer
and
a shot.
Yeah. It's really that generation. They had the right ideas. Again, back to the first podcast, we Americans, you have three beers in one day and you have a problem. No, you don't. You're normal.
Yeah.
You chug three beers in an hour, you have a problem.
Yeah. There was this dude that it was the first and last time he visited our apartment. Mm. And he sat down with a bottle of whiskey and just did shot after shot after shot
after
himself.
Shot. He drank most of it. Drove home.
Drove home with his wife
despite
in the car.
Despite as often as we offered to drive him home, get him a cab, pay for the cab, whatever it took to get him home safely, he refused.
He was a wife-beating piece of crap.
Yeah.
And an alcoholic to boot.
Yeah.
There was no positive redeeming qualities of this man.
No. So, my point about Molson and on draft is pretty much, I go out and I get Molson on draft and it's fantastic.
My story was the first time
that
I drank.
And then we get back to the torques. It was so awesome.
So, the first time that I drank, I got together with my D&D buddies probably.
Geek.
And we went and we had, one of my buddy's friends had went out of town and we got together and drank and stuff. And the whiskey was going down like it was water. I ended up meeting up with one of the guys from our D&D group, James. We would go to this pub called the Thirsty Monk in Oshawa, which is, like, nowhere near what it is now. Now it's, like, this weird gastropub, highfalutin, scrape-your-nose-on-the-ceiling kind of establishment.
I know the first place first time you took me there, it was very much a regular pub, like you described
it. Was, like,
it.
Here.
And they've remodeled since 2005, 2006, or whatever.
Now they're trying to be, like, all trendy and stuff,
it's
and it's not the same at all. So me going out as a 16-year-old...
Being naughty and drinking underage, which
nobody should ever,
ever do.
Drinking age in Canada is 19, you should obey all local laws. I would go out and order Guinness, because I figured no sane 16-year-old girl in her right mind is going to order Guinness. And that's what the bartenders thought, and never carded me.
Clever underage drinking through psychology. Again, you should never ever do this. We don't recommend that
there
be a rash of 16-year-olds drinking Guinness right now. But nonetheless, Sheila got away with it, because she's evil.
Yes.
Naughty,
the horns are holding
naughty,
up the
naughty.
Halo.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
So that tour was awesome.
So back to the tour. The whole point of the pubcast, because we wanted to talk about I envision the second pubcast talking about the different types of beer.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a lot about brewing and everything.
I wanted to talk about
the
difference between lagers and bitters and stouts and pale ales. No, we're totally
the different styles of beer
doing Robert Simpson. So back to the name. So they've decided to rename themselves because, as Patty put it, the sister of the brewer, he's tired of the brewery being named after a bunch of dead white guys. Which is, you know, a valid kind of deal.
Well, I thought it was a historic name. Like, it was like the founder of Barry or the founder of the county or something like that.
I assumed it was always one of the owners at some point.
Yeah.
But he's tired of being known as a bunch of dead white guys. He's changing it to Flying Monkey Brewery, which I think is a killer name.
That is an awesome name.
I want to buy merchandise once they get stuff labeled as Flying Monkey.
I'm going to clothe myself in Flying Monkey apparel.
Think of how many people we know who love monkeys. And Flying Monkeys alone. Spencer and Becky alone. Their next Christmas gift is going to be a box of Flying Monkey Brewery stuff.
Becky and Spencer think monkeys are cute and adorable. And then you have the entire gay community. They're like, ooh, Flying Monkeys from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. But I don't even know if they've realized this, but they have tapped into a vein of subculture that is going to be like, this is a killer brewery symbol thing that I want to wear. It like people wear Guinness gear all the time,
like heraldic gear almost.
Yes.
And the picture that they have, like the little monkey clip,
I love it.
Like that they have, it looks like it could be on somebody's shield in the Middle Ages.
And,
you know,
and their new beer that they're bringing out is the Hoptical Illusion, and it's not quite pale ale. And it kicks butt.
It is awesome,
awesome
beer.
Again, I think maybe it's the age talking. I used to hate pale ales, and I'm really starting to warm to them as I get a little bit older. And the Hoptical Illusion, for the true hop heads out there, you probably won't like it that much.
Well, it'll be a light beer for them.
Yeah, it's not as hoppy as you would like, but for the rest
it's
of
palatable
us,
palatable
for
the rest
people
of us
who are becoming hop heads, it's a darn good beer. My God, I could drink that all day.
What gives me faith in it is the fact that the brother that does, like, most of the brewing was tinkering in his garage, and Patty was absolutely thrilled, I think, to have us on the tour because I'm a home brewer.
Well, she didn't have to provide the science behind the tour. She's like, I'm not a scientist,
well,
I can't do all this for you.
The first thing I asked her when she's like, it's the Simcoe Steam Brewery, I'm like, does that mean it's a steam ale? She's like, I have no idea what that means, stop asking me these questions.
No, she was really nice about it. She's like, I don't know the science behind it. If you want the science, you want Bruce on Saturdays. He does those tours. But she still did a great job.
She did an amazing job, and she kept our glasses full and kept the conversation going.
It was a really enjoyable tour.
It was.
I mean, we got to see the giant fermenters.
Yes.
Which, and we've always had this little bit of bitterness because the brew pub. What's their thing? The Morgantown Brewing Company or whatever?
West Virginia Brewing Company.
West Virginia Brewing Company. We've never gotten to do the tour there. You always had to have a certain number of people. You had to arrange the tour ahead of time. Blah, blah, blah. Yakety schmack. The stars had to align to a certain whatever. And
the
we
moon
were
had
always
to be in Leo, and
we were always very bitter that we could never quite get it lined up to do the tour.
This
so
place, it's easy.
Yeah,
they do
show
a tour
at 2 o'clock
every day at 2 o'clock
on the
weekends.
Saturdays, 1 and 4. We were excited just to finally see a brewery, and they have bigger equipment than the West Virginia Brewing Company. But it was always a tease because we'd go to the brew pub and we'd sit at the bar, sit in that bar area, and we'd look over and see the giant fermenter sitting there.
Yeah,
and we'd just salivate and say, "My God, I want to do a freaking tour so bad and talk to these people."
I was like a little boy with a little Tonka dump truck
that
sat there and lived at the end of the street where there was always construction with boys with their big toys.
Yes, and you can never play with the
and
big
I can
toys.
And I could never play
you
with the big
talk
toys.
To the boys. Here, we got a chance to talk to the boys and look at the big toys, and it was awesome.
Yeah, she was like, well, it's probably not that interesting for you guys because you already know the science of it. But
we're
it's
like,
really
no,
big.
There's big stuff.
There's
and
big
we got
stuff.
To look
it's
in
industrial
the,
and cool. And
the tun where they cook the mash. We got to look in one of those, and they keep that stuff pristine.
Oh my God, it was like a freaking Orbitz commercial. It was
Well, I was impressed. You know how you always tell me if you walk in a tattoo place and it doesn't smell like a hospital walkout?
When I walked in there,
honestly, when we got past the doors in the beginning and we're in where all the fermenting and brewing goes on, it almost smelled like a hospital.
Yes.
It smelled like a hospital with an overtone of barley.
Yes.
And
like
I
there
was
were drunk doctors there.
Yes, but it was impressive.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd be able to smell that antiseptic layer on top of everything.
That level of cleanliness.
And that right there tells you that I want to drink this beer because if it's clean, it's going to taste good. Because clean beer is good beer.
Yes. So here's a crash course on brewing.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to go to the bathroom while she gives you your crash course.
Okay. So basically what you're doing whenever you're brewing, you're taking a grain of some sort, whether it be wheat or rice or barley or whatever, you're taking sugars and you're taking yeast. And you're getting the yeast to eat the sugars, and as a byproduct, they create alcohol and carbon dioxide. So they puke out booze and they fart out bubbles, essentially. So what you're actually doing whenever you brew is you're getting a clean enough environment that the yeast is the dominant microbe there. You want the yeast to outnumber all of the microbes there, because the other microbes could be things like, it could be like a bacteria, it could even be like something like a mold or a fungus or a botulism, something like that. Whenever you drink a product that has been made by yeast, whether you're talking beer, wine, or yogurt, okay, it's not technically yeast, but it's a microbe. You might also be drinking microbes that there's a couple of them in there that are harmful, but the dominant microbe in that product is going to be the type of microbe that you want. So the dominant microbe in beer is going to be yeast. The dominant microbe in wine, same thing. Dominant microbe in yogurt is going to be the probiotics that they're always advertising now. And I knew eventually it was going to come to this point in time where they were going to start advertising the microbes in yogurt. So what you want to do, there's the four ingredients in brewing. There's water, grains, hops, and yeast. You mix the water, the hops, and the grains together, and you cook it together. And you make it into like a warm kind of, it's called a mash. And what you do after that is you cool it down enough that it's not scalding hot, but it's still pretty warm. It's above body temperature. And you pitch the yeast. And I always have this little pagan blessing that I do whenever I brew. And I say, feast, yeast, feast. And that comes from the days when Rick and I were brewing in his basement. Because we used to brew all of our own beer. And that's where I started brewing, was my friend Rick was like, you know what? Rather than paying $30 for a case, we could pay $15 and get 2.5 cases for the price of half a case. So that kept us in beer forever. Anyways, you pitch the yeast into it and you let it ferment and bubble and bubble and bubble away. Then sometimes you do a secondary fermentation where you drain it off and you put it into another container. And then you put a little bit of sugar in it to prime it, so it gives the yeast a little bit more to eat. So it's not really producing much more alcohol, but it's producing the carbon dioxide. So you get some bubbly beer and you bottle it. And then you let it sit in the bottles. As it sits in the bottles and it ages, the flavor mellows out a little bit and the yeast consumes the little bit of sugar that you gave to it, so it makes it a little bit bubbly, so it's not just still. There are some brews that are still. Usually they're either cordials or meads or something like that.
Wines.
Wine is definitely still, where you don't really do that. It's called priming. So that's my crash course in beer brewing. Go ahead.
Just as long as one bathroom break. Back to the tour. So you first walk into the Robert Simpson Brewing Company. It's on Dunlop Street is what we're on, yes, right now, in downtown Barrie. Gorgeous building as you drive by it. If you're coming off Bayfield, you'll make a left. If you get lost, ask somebody. Somebody will be able to tell you where the Robert Simpson Brewing Company is. It's across the street from the Queen's Hotel. You walk in the place, and it's just pretty. Tons of merchandise out as soon as you walk in. Mugs, glasses, all that good stuff.
Aprons,
shirts, books. They've got a bunch of kegerators out sitting on display. They have beer coolers to the right where you can actually buy cases and six packs, which I think is really cool if I lived in
Barrie. Beer openers, if you're like a total cheapskate, but you still want to...
Yeah, a souvenir, you know, something cool to get from the place, which, you know, we've done that before. I just want something little.
Yeah.
But the beer coolers on the right are awesome.
Yes.
I mean, you can get beer right there, not have to go to the LCBO or the beer store. They sell kegs.
Yes.
Which is awesome, too. You know, if you've got your own home kegerator, good beer to put on tap.
And they have a place where if you want to do a function,
yes,
they
upstairs,
have a place
you can
upstairs.
Rent.
It's really, really nice. It's got a fireplace. It's got a bunch of tables.
It's small.
It's got like a little bar, but it's really, really nice, intimate. And it has like the outlook
is
either
the brewery
on one side,
yeah,
or the downtown Barrie on the right or left-hand
really,
side.
If you're looking for a nice little place to have a function for, I don't know what their capacity is, maybe 30, 40 people, that's the place to get. Like,
I think that's what we're going to do for our 10-year anniversary.
If you want to do a function for our 10-year, I'm all for having a party there.
Yes.
Because that is killer.
Yes.
You know, we've got a bunch of little hotels in downtown Barrie we could probably rent or whatever.
As well as crash space at our own place.
Well, we'll be in Oshawa by then, hopefully. But nonetheless, it's a cute little place upstairs. And if you're in the area and looking for a place to do like a small wedding or whatever, check it out. Because
they're family-owned
fantastic.
And operated. They are really, really cool, really, really nice. Check them out.
The beer's great. They're doing the organic kind of locally thing as much as they can.
Exactly.
The organic alone, you know it's going
to
taste good.
When they first started out, they said they were trying to do the premium beer, like Estrella, kind of like Belgian ale. But you know what?
They found their niche is craft brew.
They're
local
like,
craft
we're local,
brew.
We're regional, we're a craft brew. And that's what we're going to do. That's our strength. So we're going to play to it.
But when I go out to drink, not drink, but when I go out to have a beer, if they have a Robert Simpson on tap, I'm going to order that just because it's local, and like local
Nine
beers
times
better.
Out of ten.
It's fresher. It's close to me. I'm going to order that anyway.
Yeah, it's
like,
just
we went out in Morgantown. We got the West Virginia. I can't remember the name of that stupid place.
Mountain State Brewing.
I'd get Mountain State Brewing when I could.
Exactly. It's just like when we go to England, when we go, because eventually we're going to go to Europe. Mm-hmm. When we go to England, when we go to Scotland, we go to Ireland, we go to Germany, mm-hmm. when we go to France.
Well, Germany, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a local brewery.
We are going to buy what is
local.
We're going to
yeah.
drink what the locals drink, because you know then it's going to be fresh and it's going to be good. It wouldn't still be there if it wasn't fresh and good.
And beer tastes better as it's fresh. No, I don't mean like right out of the fermenter fresh. It needs a week to age or
age
so.
A little bit,
maybe 2 weeks. Really, after about a month.
The closer the source you get, the better it is. The less time that beer has to travel, mm-hmm. the better it's going to be. I cannot wait. I've heard so much about how different Guinness tastes in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you drink
great.
It there, it's going to be like mother's milk
yeah.
compared to the stuff that you drink here. And I've met some people that have traveled to Ireland or they have family in Ireland, and they said, I can't drink Guinness here mm-mm. at all. It tastes completely different.
Everybody
totally
I know
different.
Who's gone to Ireland, they can't drink Guinness outside of the island. They're like, oh,
yeah.
it's just not the
it's
same.
It's not meant
it's not
to
right.
be drank outside the island. I mean, it's mm-hmm. bully for them. It's good for them. They get to like, have an international product and ship it out, but...
Even your stouts taste so drastically different compared to Guinness.
Yeah.
And I know the base is almost the same. There shouldn't be that much of a difference. And I love Guinness. It's a
yeah.
good beer. But compared to when you do a good chocolate stout and you pump out, like, one of your best...
Yeah.
I taste that, and then I taste a Guinness, and...
The Guinness falls
I usually go back to your stout.
Yeah, because
Blackwater
it's not
Stout,
fresh. Yeah.
West Virginia
Blackwater
Brewing
stout,
Company,
West
Blackwater
Brewing
Stout.
Company.
Same principle. The brew pub downtown of Morgantown does a killer stout, Blackwater Stout. It was our go-to beer unless they had something really good that was seasonal, and it made Guinness kind of taste flat, taste
yeah.
like something was missing because
like
it was
generic.
So fresh, so close to the source, and it really was the age. I mean, Guinness is something you need to have from the source. So Robert Simpson Brewing Company. Go do the tour. And the best part about the tour, this is so cool. We go in, and there's this nice young lady behind the counter. And she was there, I think, the last time we checked out doing the
yeah,
tour,
probably.
But we were way too early or way too late for it. And she told us, she's like, hey, we said, hey, is there a tour? Do we have to sign up? She's like, no, there'll be a tour if you want to do it. Let me check and make sure it's on today. She comes back, yeah, it's on today. You don't need to sign up or anything. She said, but the tour's free. You can sample the beer if you want. But if you buy a glass from our stuff over there, and there's stuff on the wall. Our gift shop. We'll fill the glass for you for a dollar when you do the tour.
And if the tour takes a little bit longer to start,
well, no.
We'll fill it back up for free.
Well, that was after we bought the glasses. She's filling it. She's like, yeah, you know, we had about 15 minutes to wait for the tour. She said, yeah, you know, if you guys run out before the tour, just let me know and I'll fill it for you. So we're not advocating people show up early just to get beer, but if you show up 5 minutes early, we're not advocating to do that. Don't take advantage of these people. They're so nice and
yeah.
sweet. But, you know, it was really something that struck a chord with me. That they're like, oh, here, let me fill your glass up for you. Go
yeah.
ahead and do the tour and have a full glass
as you
do it.
It was like having a personal bartender.
It was really nice.
That actually cared.
It was friendly.
Yes, it was very friendly.
She was very friendly, very nice, and she wasn't overbearing, like, can I help you? But she's like, here, you know,
we're ignoring
let me fill your
you.
Glass.
Like,
and
pretend you're not even there.
And they have, oh my god, this is something I wish I had when I was a bartender. At the tap, at the front register, when they turn the glass upside down and they stick it on this little round thing and they push it down, it shoots water up in to clean the glass.
It's
like this
like
pressurized
washer
for glasses. I am so jealous of that little toy. I want one someday. I need to make a lot of money so I can have one.
Someday we'll have a home bar with that in it.
Yes. It's so cool, though. So we're watching the little pressurized washer, and we're getting our beer, and I had she let me try the Hoptical Illusion to make sure I liked it, because I knew I'd like the anti-gravity, because I'd had Sheila's before.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going
to
try that.
I'd had the anti-gravity before. I really wanted something different this time.
And I tried it, and I had my little glass I picked off the shelf. I got one of the, I don't even know the name for it. It's like, it almost looks like a oblong wine glass. It has a stem like a wine glass.
Yeah. It's
but it's all glass, no stem.
It's like a Belgian beer glass.
Yeah,
but
I got one of those.
This one has a temperature gauge
on it. Oh, the temperature gauge. That is so cool. They have, on the left-hand side of the shelf, they have regular glasses of various sizes. And on the right-hand side, they have these, I forget what they call them, it's like temperature-sensitive or whatever glasses.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? And we turn it around and look at it, and on the back of the glass, there's a little stamp on it, like a ink stamp, and it says something about microbrew, Robert Simpson Brewing Company or whatever on it.
3 to 5 degrees Celsius.
3 to 5 degrees Celsius. And when you put the beer in it, if it's the right temperature, it turns blue. How cool is that?
I think it's technically called, like, the lager temperature glass or something
like that.
It's
neat. It's a cool little marketing thing. I'm excited to have one. God forbid we wash it in hot water. I want it to make sure the little stamp lasts as long as possible. Otherwise,
you
have to come back and
forever.
Buy a bunch of them. But that's a cool little marketing thing. And honestly, you know, you want your beer to be the right temperature.
Yeah, I understand that.
And it was so cool because as I was drinking it and I got halfway down the stamp, the top half was almost clear, like white. The bottom half was still blue. I'm like, it's kind of neat. So it was very cool. It was an awesome experience. Patty did a great tour.
She kept apologizing because her brother is the one that's the beer geek. And
we're beer geeks. She's like,
We're total beer geeks.
I don't know the science. We're like, we don't care.
You know the history. You know, anything like that.
I mean, she could tell us how each of the fermenters were named. That's kind of cool.
That's cool. That's
family history. We went down to the bottling area because they weren't bottling. And they could do 40-some bottles a minute. Which, again, compared to a macro swill kind of place, that's small potatoes, but to us being home brewers where you're doing it by hand,
like by hand capping, like,
and if you can do 40 an hour, you're a stud. We're like, woo, you go. We got,
like,
to see the cakes.
It's like bottling day whenever you homebrew. It's like, okay, there's like a specific day that's like, okay, it's ready.
Yeah, they bottle
once a
week. And
I've got enough time and I'm ready to go.
And the fellow who was down there working, he was filling kegs that time. We're like, oh, that's kind of cool. And they have the cutest little kegs. They're 20-liter kegs. I've never seen a keg that small and that cute before. For the home brewers out there, it looks like a Cornelius keg. You know, the tall, skinny keg? But it stops halfway, and it's a regular keg. And it is adorable, and I want one.
And they
I
have
want
a lab.
Kegerator just to put one of those. And they have a lab on premises
they
to
have
check
a lab where
their
they
bacteria.
Check to make sure, like, what the bacteria to yeast ratio is, what the air ratio is, so there's not too much air, so it's getting oxidized. They have all these different letters from different people around the world that are collecting beer labels, and they wanted a sample of their beer labels. And when they first opened up, they didn't have enough money for artwork for the halls in, like, the kind of the corporate area. So they had all the kids of the family, including, like, the 20-year-old kids, making artwork for the halls.
I think that is so cool.
Most awesome touch ever.
I mean, even if, you know, they go gangbusters and they become, like, multi-millionaires off of this, I think they should leave that artwork where it is. It is so neat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like history right
there.
They
were talking about, like, they were needing artists, and I'm like, oh, really? Because I'm, like, more of, like, a cartoonist artist.
Tell them why. They're going to put together a beer geek kind of thing that's going to be, I guess, a once-a-month deal.
Yeah.
Where the brewer comes up with something different, and he makes it and says, hey, you guys try this out, and the beer
geeks
like in the area
kind of thing.
Can all get together and sample and talk and do their beer geek thing. And I think that is just incredible.
Awesome. I'm going to leave you for a second and go to the bathroom.
Well, I know I'm going to have to unleash you to go to the Beer Geek festivities if I'm working, but that's fine by me.
Woot.
I can even see, you know, if we're in Oshawa once a month, drives to come up and
I
check
know,
that
I,
out.
So, there are so many different connections to make to these guys. I feel bad
I
for
know,
leaving.
I know you want to
I
wanna
actually
brew
feel bad
hardcore.
For leaving
like,
and I really want to brew.
My people, they need me.
Yeah.
Not really, don't need you, but you know.
But.
So go ahead and
hit the head,
and I'll sit here and think of something to talk about.
Or you can pause it until I come back.
I'll think of something. No, I like the sound of my own voice. I'll think of something.
Okay.
That's the sound of Sheila's chair moving. Which, actually, the back patio here at the Queen's Hotel is quite nice. I could see us coming down here in the afternoon on the weekends and really enjoying ourselves. It's not huge, but it's cozy. Not people gawking at us. So back to the Robert Simpson Brewing Company. It's really, they've got three pretty much flag brews right now, or rather, should I say, the Flying Monkey Brewery. They've got three flagship brews. Check them out. If you're in the area and you've never had them before, I know a lot of places in downtown Aurelia serve their brew. The Brewery Bay does it. I believe Studebaker's has some of their stuff on tap, but I could be wrong on that. Zatz, possibly. I thought I saw they had a Robert Simpson Brewing Company sign out in the window. They're in, there's a variety pack out right now, and it's pretty much a Craft Brewers of Ontario variety pack. And I believe number 2 is out in the LCBOs as we speak, and it's a 6-pack of 6 different craft brews just from Ontario. Sheila and I picked one up about a month ago or so, maybe even longer than that, and it is fantastic. One of the beers in it is the Robert Simpson's Confederation Amber. Fantastic beer. And the other five are different brews from the Ontario area. There was one that was like a Granny Smith apple beer that almost tasted like a hard cider, but it had a distinctive apple overtone. There was a stout, I want to say Black Oak Stout, really good beer. There was an Irish stout in there that was, or an Irish something that was really good. It's one of those things that I love variety. Whenever I go to buy beer, if I can get a variety pack of something, I'm more inclined to buy that than a regular 2-4 or something. And seeing that 6-pack with 6 different beers in it, by God, of course I'm going to put money down and take that home with me. Just like when I go to the beer store, if I'm more inclined to get the Killian's Red White pack or a sampler pack, then I am to bring home just a 2-4 of Killian's White. And again, for our American listeners, a 2-4 is a case. You can still get 12 packs, but it's cheaper to get a 2-4, so you might as well get that. I was actually just talking... Oh, you're back. I was just talking about the 6-pack sampler with the Black Oak Stout and the Robert Simpsons in there and that killer Granny Smith thing in there. What are those?
Peanuts.
Way to pilfer from the bar.
Ah, grabbed it from the unsalted side of the barrel.
Oh, okay. Really?
Really.
Did you know?
I did.
So let's talk about the sampler stout. Because one of the 6-packs they had for sale at the Robert Simpson Brewing Company was the number 2 sampler that has their beer in it. We haven't seen the number 1 yet. I'm afraid we've missed it. But I'm excited to see the craft brewers put out such a sampler pack. That was one of the things Patty mentioned on the tour, was that the craft brewers in Ontario are actually pretty cool with each other. They're kind of not family-like.
It's almost like a guild.
But they're willing to talk to each other and exchange some information, and that makes me happy.
I guess,
I like to see that.
Like, a bunch of the more established breweries were showing her brother kind of the ropes about, like, how to do stuff on, like, a huge, huge scale, because...
Well, they went on a tour and gave some tips.
Yeah, brewing, like, cooking is not necessarily a one-for-one thing whenever you're making it bigger.
Just like if you double your chocolate chip cookie recipe, you don't really want to double the eggs in it, because it'll make your cookies more flat. The less egg you put in a cookie, the thicker they'll be. If you double your egg or you put too much egg in it, it'll be a little bit flatter.
Yeah. So if you want the thinner, crispy cookies, do that. But most people want, like, the kind of chewy cookies. Mm-hmm.
So you put more egg in it. The protein makes it chewier, I guess. That was something my grandmother always taught me. Because whenever she doubled her cookie recipes, which she did for...
Yes.
She never doubled the egg in it. Or if she had a smaller egg, she tried to use that.
Unless she was, like, quadrupling it. Then you put the extra egg in.
What was your favorite part of the tour?
My favorite part of the tour was probably at the end when...
Oh, just chatting.
Just BSing with Patty,
yeah.
Because she seemed really, really interested in what we had to say and who we were. And
it's just a friendly place. I mean, they give off a really good vibe. Their beer's fantastic. I mean, overall, really friendly people. And I think, to me, that makes a difference. I like to know my beer's made by nice people.
Exactly.
I don't want to think my beer's made of, like, made from, made by soul-sucking, evil, heartless corporate drones.
Yeah, exactly.
And these are people who, obviously, her brother obviously loves the craft. To tinker with the recipe until he gets it just right.
Yeah, because...
I think she said the last recipe he came up with before they launched was the one they actually used for the Confederation. I mean, that's great. That's a man who loves what he's doing.
And they weren't sure it was going to work large scale.
Oh, yeah, when he did the optical illusion, he just kind of said, okay, let's hope this works, and he did a whole large batch of it because he recognized that this is not always going to work, the one-for-one translation, so I need to do it as a large batch.
Exactly. So, instead of doing it small scale first, he just played with it large scale, which to me shows balls and knowledge.
Knowledge
of craft. You have to know the theory
behind
how everything works before you can start playing with hundreds of gallons of beer rather than just 5 gallons.
I really, as comfortable as I feel with making mead, as comfortable as I feel with cider, I'd really say the relationship, Sheila's the beer master. I'm the person you go to for cider and odd stuff. As comfortable as I am with cider, I don't know if I'm quite confident enough if I was going to make a 50 or 100 gallon batch. And I feel pretty darn solid on cider.
Yeah.
Though Sheila's last batch of cider came out really good. The only problem we foresee is that she used an ale yeast that was actually left over from her last batch of beer. And it was a little aggressive. She put it in the fridge, I think, the first day it was in the bottles.
I could see it actually carbonating in the bottle, and I didn't want to just let it go on the counter because I knew it was going to blow up if I did that.
Oh, yeah.
So I threw it in the fridge after sitting in to carbonate on the counter for the afternoon.
Because cold stops yeast cold in its tracks. No
it puts
pun intended.
In a painless, nice yes. way.
Yes, it's euthanization for yeast. So she sticks it in the fridge, and about a week later, I pull one out and crack it open on her little bottle opener. And it, as soon as I open it, and I didn't shake it from the fridge to the bottle opener, I pulled it out very smoothly, calmly, open it, and as soon as I open it and the air hits the bottleneck,
kaboom!
It booms out of control. I run to the sink, I hold the bottle over the sink, and I call to Sheila, I think you may still have your reputation for cider.
I have a really bad reputation in the...
Because she blows it up!
Society for Creative Anachronism, which is a bunch of media.
Because she can't follow a recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have cider issues with Sheila. The last couple batches she has done has blown crap up. The
but
bottles have exploded.
Tasty.
It's been delicious until it blows off. You have to drink it like the first day. So seeing
my nickname is the Mad Cider Bomber.
So seeing her cider in the fridge coming out and exploding, I thought, well, this is an improvement. There's not glass
it's in
everywhere.
The
it's in the fridge and there's not glass everywhere. That makes me feel better, but nonetheless, we still have to work on it. But I really think it had to do with your yeast, because you were using an ale yeast, and traditionally, I always used a champagne yeast.
Well, I might have used too much honey, too, to prime it.
Yeah, and I always use a champagne yeast, and that... technically should carbonate harder, but I think it carbonates differently. And I think the yeast you were using didn't cut off carbonation at a certain pressure. I don't think it was even a true ale yeast, because I think ale yeast, isn't that the one that after it hits like 7 or 8%, it dies?
Yeah.
Because the pressure kills it. I don't think yours was doing that. Mm-hmm. If we could get you some of that,
I'd be good
that
to go.
Kills itself after 7, 8, 9%
it
alcohol,
commits,
and it the pressure in the bottle itself kills the yeast, maybe you'd be okay. So maybe we should start ordering some of that. I don't know.
A little bit of information, or a little bit of research
yeah.
is what we got to do.
But back to the topic on hand, Robert Simpson Brewing Company, if you're in Canada and you can find their beer, drink it. It's fantastic.
Drink two.
And it's made by people who love what they do, so that makes it even taste better. If you're in the area or you're going to, say you're coming up to Wasaga for the weekend, make a trip to Barrie, make a detour.
Yeah.
It's only like half an hour away, and it is totally worth coming down on
Definitely.
A Saturday. Tours are from one and four.
You'll get a cool souvenir. Say you spend $10.
Spend $10. Buy a glass. Get it filled. Yeah.
And you'll have a cool souvenir to go.
Totally do it. And how many people come up to Wasaga for the weekend?
Lots.
Tons. So definitely check it out. We give it like 2 hearty fat chick thumbs up.
Yes.
With like extra thumbs if we could.
And then come over across the street and finish your drinking excursion with a couple of anti-gravity ales from the Queen's Hotel.
Or if you're being all responsible and you're going to go back to the campsite or the hotel or the cottage, pick up a 2-4 at the Robert Simpson Brewing Company or a keg and head back to the cottage.
Supplies. You're good to go.
Yeah. And if you don't have your own tap by now, which I have to replace mine, just buy one. Buy one on eBay, whatever. It's worth the cost.
Yeah. If you're going to have even a couple of good parties in your lifetime,
mm-hmm.
buying the keg tap is mm-hmm. definitely worth it.
It's
the
worth
40
it.
Bucks that you're
going to
pay.
So even though I need to replace mine, I think my replacement's going to be a small kegerator once I get a little firmly established in my next job.
Yeah. That's the wet dream of every home brewer is mm-hmm. to be able to set up a kegerator.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to set up a kegging system rather than bottling.
Oh, I want a kegerator so bad. So... but anyway, I'm tapped out.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Is there only foam coming out?
There's only foam coming out. This
All
is
right.
Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thank you for listening to Podcast
Pubcast.
Pubcast Numero Zwei.
And we apologize again if you made it this far and you don't understand why it's so chaotic. Pubcasts are not the regular podcast.
No.
Catch you later.
We hope you enjoyed the Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can email us at zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod, and we hope that you have a great day.